You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
More news reports out this week tying yours truly to the Trump administration, while our old friend Donald Trump Jr. is facing increasing fire from the usual suspects. We're going to break it all down for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, starting right now. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday evening, July 15th. It's hot as hell in the studio and outside, as well as yours truly, James Edwards and Keith Alexander.
James is in a hot mess as usual again.
Well, here the fact is, Keith, another flurry of news reports have been published this week tying me very tenuously, I guess you could say, to the Trump administration, with the Boston Globe going so far as to include our quote-unquote news cycle hijacking interview.
It's one of the six highlights of Donald Trump Jr.'s life.
That's right. I mean, folks, we're going to get
forgetting all about his lost decade in the Ku Klux Klan.
I don't know how they overlooked that. But yes, indeed, the Boston Globe, in a biographical piece on Donald Trump Jr., included news cycle hijacking interview, as it was put, with Donald Trump Jr. as a main sub-area in the life of the president's son. Another major story called Trump Jr., the administration's emissary to the alt-right, citing our quote-unquote ties as proof. Well, here's all the latest details. I tell you, you want to walk down memory lane, there ain't nothing like it. There's nothing to put you there like being back in the news cycle with a story that was litigated time and time and time again in 2016.
I think that the mainstream media, rather than memory lane, they've got dementia lane here. They keep forgetting the important facts, like whose program he was on.
We're going to get to all that this hour. Folks, this is fun. We're going to have fun this first hour. To death do us part, apparently, Don Jr. and James Edwards,
Siamese twins joined at the hip.
Donald Trump Jr. publicly stated last year that the interview that I participated in with him and Sam Bushman will follow him for the rest of his life. Well, I guess he's going to be proven right, Keith, because it's still being included as a centerpiece in news reports 16 months later. We're talking a year and a half later.
One of the six highlights of his life, according to the Boston Globe.
And I'm saving that for the last of this hour. That's going to be the climax of this hour. I couldn't believe it when I read that. I mean, you're talking about all the milestones a child, a young man, and an adult would experience in life, and then tucked in it is the interview, the 15-minute interview.
If that's one of the six highlights of his life, man. I feel sorry for this guy.
Well, according to them, it was one of the defining moments of his life, I guess you could say, perhaps not a highlight. But this came from the Daily Beast, I believe. President Donald Trump's worst campaign surrogate is back in the limelight and reminding some former Trump campaign colleagues why he earned the nickname Fredo. Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son, is now at the center of events fueling scrutiny of the campaign's contacts with individuals tied to the Russian government, who, the New York Times reported, offered to share damaging information about the Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton with Trump Jr. and other senior campaign officials.
That translation, damaging information, means any truthful information about them, because it should be damaging based on what Hillary did.
Well, we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of that too, Keith. And the fact is, of course, he did absolutely nothing wrong in meeting with this person. And we'll break that down this hour too. Stay tuned, folks. It's all going to be unpacked in a logical order. But getting back to this piece, news of the meeting between Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer with Kremlin ties, there's that word ties again, has thrust Trump Jr. back into the headlines and revived the first son's haphazard practices that infuriated campaign operatives last year. People who worked and interacted with Jr. during his father's political rise in the Republican Party aren't exactly surprised that the oldest Trump son would find himself in this mess. The Daily Beast article continues, current White House officials and former Trump campaign staffers recall Trump Jr. as a liability and chronic headache for the presidential campaign, prone to unforced errors.
Look, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ himself, as somebody said early in the campaign, if Donald Trump walked on water across the Potomac River, the Washington Post headline the next day would be Donald Trump can't swim. So there's no nothing you can there's nothing you can do to prevent the bad press from the mainstream media. They are just, you know, they're incorrigible. They are the worst ever. I don't think that they have sunk below everybody's expectations. Nobody expected the media to go this far off the rails and to be and totally abandon all objectivity when it came to Donald Trump. But this is more proof of the same malady.
Well, there's several articles we could draw from to open the show tonight. I chose this one. And it ends with officials, this is White House officials, mind you, highlighted Trump Jr.'s failings as a campaign surrogate by pointing specifically to his news cycle hijacking and friendly radio interview with Trump-boosting white supremacist host James Edwards in March of last year, among other incidents. So let's just pause right there. It's an incident when he comes on Sam Bushman's show. I participate because the original interview request, if everyone remembers the chronological chain of events in that ordeal, came to me. They intended to be on the political cesspool. I couldn't accommodate them because they were booking for Tuesday. I air on Saturday. I handed it off to Sam, and he graciously invited me to participate in his interview. At that point of the handoff, it was Sam's interview. And anyway, of course, the rest is history, but it's an incident that he would answer perfectly legitimate and polite questions for me. Not an incident, of course, when Barack Obama goes to a white-hating church for 30 years, but it's also incredible to me, Keith, that top quote-unquote officials at the White House are still fretting over that very solid interview with Donald Trump Jr. nearly a year and a half later, especially when you consider the fact that Sam and I were also officially credentialed by the Trump campaign and the Republican National Convention. We were invited to the inauguration. But I'll say this for Don Jr. By all accounts, he appears to be a decent guy, probably superior to his father in many ways. I have an overall positive opinion of Donald Trump Jr., even though he mistakenly allowed the media to fluster him to the point where he felt the need to throw us under the bus last year.
He's learned, like everybody that's challenged by the mainstream media about having that the alt-right is a much better friend for you than anybody in the leftist media.
Well, all of that's, of course, true. And I couldn't help but grin and let out a little chuckle, though, to see that. And what are Trump White House officials, if that is indeed what they are, that's what this article claims them to be, what are they doing talking to the Daily Beast hacks anyway? And in talking to them, how could they still be lamenting that interview? Did they ever listen to the interview? That interview is probably one of the better interviews that he conducted on his part and on behalf of the hosts. That
a White House staffer that talks with anybody representing the Daily Beast, that should be grounds for immediate firing.
Well, hey, it's not to say that Don Jr. and I didn't share a moment in that interview. Another article, I don't even remember what, I think this was actually in Vanity Fair magazine, if I'm not mistaken, reads, Don Jr.'s alt-right flirtations weren't limited to Twitter. He did a radio interview with white supremacist radio host James Edwards, as the Huffington Post reported. On the show, Edwards told Trump Jr. he hoped his father would become America's Charlemagne. And, as the Washington Post noted, Don Jr. didn't take issue with that. Edwards also said he had no trouble getting press credentials from the Trump campaign. Hey,
I guess we were wrong. Charlemagne, not Nathan Bedford Forrest, was the actual founder of the Ku Klux Klan.
Bonding over Charlemagne. It's what men do. We'll be back right after this.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job, It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, I want to play a clip that will take you back to exactly the way it was in March of 2016. It was heard all around the world, and it goes a little something like this.
Donald Trump Jr., the eldest son of the Republican presidential frontrunner and one of his political aides, has granted a 20-minute radio interview to a prominent white supremacist who broadcast a show that has been dubbed the primary radio nexus of hate in America. The younger Trump will be featured as a guest of honor in Saturday's broadcast of The Political Cesspool, a three-hour program that lists among its objectives to grow the percentage of whites in the world relative to other races. The show is presented by James Edwards, an avowed white nationalist who is pro-slavery and whose previous guests include the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke.
Charlemagne.
Okay, folks, listen. You know when that interview was conducted, after it was conducted, I guess you could say immediately after it aired, that everybody was talking about it. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNN. It didn't even air on my show for weeks. Weeks. Now, again, let me break down how all of this happened. I was offered press credentials to cover a Donald Trump rally in Memphis, Tennessee. I was also given permission at that rally to broadcast a live episode of the Political Cesspool from inside Donald Trump's press pen, which you'll remember, Sam Bushman anchored from the studio. We were live on the scene at the rally. I was inside, fully credentialed member of the press. We did a great show that night. The very next morning, Sunday morning, I receive an email from an agent working for the Trump campaign asking if Donald Trump Jr. could appear on the Political Cesspool. I still have that email. They wanted to book it for Super Tuesday. Guess what state votes in Super Tuesday? Tennessee. The day after I attend this rally. I think that in my 13 years of being on the radio, we have never been contacted by another presidential campaign. Ever. So you got to think, hey, they want to be on our show. The problem was, of course, I air live on Saturday. They're doing interviews on Super Tuesday. I punt it to Sam. I say, Sam, we got an opportunity to have Don Jr. on. I can't do it. I think it'd be great if you could. And he takes it, of course, because Sam's show also airs on the local affiliate here in Memphis. Well, Sam, out of the goodness of his heart, since the original email did come to the political cesspool, asked me to sit in on that interview. I graciously accepted. It wasn't expected, but was appreciated. And so, even though it was on Sam's show, that interview was conducted on the Liberty Roundtable, hosted by Sam Bushman. I was, I guess you could say, a guest participant in that particular interview under the circumstances. And that was it. Well, of course, every single news outlet, you could maybe say co-host if you'd like. I do appear on Sam's show very regularly, and he on this one quite regularly. But that those are the facts. Now, hey, I don't care who gets the credit for it. I don't care about any of that. I just care about doing the work. But those are the facts. I mean, if we had aired on Tuesday, Don Jr. would have come on the political cesspool. But those are the facts. Now, all of these media outlets, that is a basic, essential, elemental, foundational fact. What show did he appear on? Sam has forced correction, revision after revision on these stories, retractions, and it's still, here it is again, another flurry a year and a half later, and they're still getting it wrong. Either because, one, they don't care, or two, they're just lazy.
If they were operating a snow cone stand, they'd go out of business because they'd get all the orders wrong. That's you know, they just cannot get it through their heads that James Edwards' show was not the show that aired this. I don't know if they're trying to not give Sam the credit, or if they think that James is so toxic they've got to drag him into it.
Well, I guess it's just easier to say in one sentence he appeared on the political cesspool than have to spend three sentences explaining how it really happened. But none of, look, we want to set the record straight here. Again,
accuracy is not a high priority for the mainstream media.
He did intend to come on the political cesspool, or his agent intended for him to come on, whatever the fact. But that's still, anyway, I guess that's almost an aside now, because it's back in the news again. And here we go. Here's another article. I don't even remember where this one was published, but it was, I think this was Vox, V-O-X. The meeting with a Kremlin-linked lawyer isn't the first time Donald Trump Jr. has told a changing story about a controversial meeting with a group offering support to his father's campaign, nor is it the only way in which his personal associations appear to have revealed facets of his father that the Trump team would have rather kept less visible. In March 2016, Trump Jr. gave an interview to The Political Cesspool, a radio show hosted by James Edwards, a conservative with white nationalist views. When he was confronted about it, his defense sounded awfully familiar, given what he said in the past few days about his meeting with the Russians. And that actually gets us to the point of all of this. The point is, Donald Trump's back in the news, and so here we come in the news with him, because he met with a Russian, a person who happened to be Russian, who said he had incriminating evidence about Hillary Clinton. Number one, there is nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing improper. If someone says, I can prove that Hillary Clinton is a criminal, you hear them out. It doesn't matter if they're American. It doesn't matter if they're Russian, Congolese, whatever. You listen to them. It's not treason, like Tim Kaine called it, and it's not grounds for impeachment. And Hillary Clinton surely took similar meetings. But so I would say, it's not a scandal for the son of a presidential candidate, not even the candidate himself, but his son, to speak to someone from another country. Give me a break. Keith, your thoughts on it. That's what this whole thing is about.
Well, I just can see this thing metastasizing. The Russian lawyer was a white supremacist who is the head of the Moscow branch of the Ku Klux Klan. you know, how can they, you know, embellish this more? How can they make something out of nothing? How can they make a mountain out of a molehill? This, you know, that basically Russian lawyer could be a plan from the Democrats. And the fact that he treated her politely and gave her a listen is being held against him. Of course, good manners is something that the leftist media has never been accused of having. So I'm sure that they would have just slammed the door on the face of somebody like this. But on the other hand, they were so desperate to find slanders and libels to level at Donald Trump and his campaign that, of course, the greatest contact that he had is James Edwards. You know, apparently, we're so toxic, you know, that you can mention our name, and that's just like you know, polluting the spring.
I would ask you this,
Keith, once and for all time.
And we may talk to Sam about this in next week's show, but he's listening too in the studio and at the network side of things. We're here at the local studio in Memphis. People say Donald Trump plays 4D chess, which means he's always a step ahead and he does things that other people can't see at the time. There's only two ways this interview could have gone down. Either they sent us an email request, the first time we'd ever been contacted by a presidential campaign, and asked to come on the show completely out of ignorance, or they knew exactly who we were and knew that just a few minutes with us would get them millions of dollars worth of publicity from that point forward through the end of the campaign and beyond, and would tie them to the people who actually were going to vote for them. Through that 15-minute interview that I participated in with Donald Trump Jr., that galvanized in many ways in the early goings the right of this country behind Donald Trump. It sent a signal that they were willing to do business with the people, not white supremacists, but good people, traditionalist Americans. That's who we are. So it's either one of two things. Either they were completely out to lunch and didn't know about us, which is almost impossible to believe considering how high profile we are, or they knew exactly what they were getting into. They knew they would denounce us later, but they were still going to signal nonetheless. Which one of those do you think it would be? Was he ignorant or was he playing 4D checkers?
I had the feeling that he didn't know what was going on, that he had some operatives that looked at everybody that got press credentials and reached out to them. I think that's.
But how do you get press credentials to something like that unless you're vetted? And believe me,
because you were listed as one of the 40 media figures on the far right that was
responsible for Donald Trump. That's right. Actually, it was 20, so that's even more prestigious. But yes, point taken. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to talk more about this Russian scandal and our involvement in it. How did we make Donald Trump's biography in the Boston Globe? We'll tell you all about it. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. You know, governments and politicians hate gold, but thieves love it. Police in Berlin raided several homes that are believed to be connected with the theft of a 221-pound Canadian gold coin. Two suspects were arrested and taken into custody. The coin was not found. It was stolen from a museum. Thieves broke into the museum in the middle of the night and had to use a wheelbarrow to cart it off. Police suspect the coin was melted down. It had a face value of 1 million Canadian dollars, the gold content worth about 4.5 million U.S. dollars. A civilian whistleblower in the Department of the Navy has been fired for undercovering serious safety issues and bringing them to the attention of the Navy Inspector General. Glenn Schwartz lost his job. He complained to the Navy inspector about improper testing of fueling equipment and fuel disposal. The office found Schwartz's complaint valid. However, recommendations for improvements and quality control were then largely ignored. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're having a good time with you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as we always do. Tonight's a little more lively than normal because we're back in the news again in a big way. We lived there last year. This was every week last year. It's been a couple of weeks for us, so it's all fresh again. It's all coming back to us.
Well, like Rasputin, this is a story that won't die. It just keeps coming back.
Or as the Isley brother put it, it's the same old song.
That's it.
Another report out there claims that Donald Trump Jr. is a quote-unquote emissary to the alt-right for the Trump administration based upon his ties
I'm waiting for news to break about James and the golden shower incident. That's when they break that, that's when I will absolutely be flabbergasted at their mendacity. But
I thought we said we weren't going to talk about that.
Well, the thing is, it's just crazy. It's you know, what are they going to come up with next?
All right, so Buchanan, let's get back. Keith's point is, what links won't they go to? And of course, the answer is there is no point. Or if the bar was on the floor, they could still crawl
under
it. They would dig under it. That's right. Okay. Well, as much news as we've made again this week with the same old story that was told, and it didn't just hijack one news cycle, as they put it, although it certainly did in March. It hijacked several. Every time Donald Trump was in the news last year, this was back at the forefront. And now, even after Trump's president, it's back in the forefront. But it's still on the periphery to the issue of him meeting with this Russian informant with links. And they love those words, links and ties, because that can mean anything. I'm 6 degrees separated from George Clooney and Britney Spears and everybody else in the world, I guess you could say, so I'm tied to them. But Buchanan focuses on the actual fake news controversy in his most recent column, and I'll read a couple of excerpts from it and let Keith tear it apart. Is Russia an enemy of the United States? NBC's Casey Hunt demanded of Ted Cruz, replied the runner-up for the GOP nomination. Russia is a significant adversary. Putin is a thug. To Hillary Clinton running mate Tim Kaine, the revelation that Donald Trump Jr. entertained an offer from the Russians for dirt on Clinton could be considered treason. Treason is giving aid and comfort to an enemy in time of war. Are we at war with Russia? Why Russia is a Hostile Power is the title of an editorial in the Washington Post.
Apparently, we are at war in the eyes of the media left.
That's for sure. That seeks to explain why Middle America should embrace Russophobia of our capital city. Vladimir Putin adheres to a set of values that are antithetical to bedrock American values. Well, God, I hope so. If he is the antithesis to what America stands for now, he should be our greatest ally. Other people saying Putin is as bad as Hitler, whatever that means.
But bad as Charlemagne.
Hey, don't start the Charlemagne stuff again. I will tell you right now, as Sam Bushman is listening, we're going to replay that interview with Donald Trump Jr. next week. We're going to replay that next week again. And I want you to find any. We did touch on race in that. I said two things racially tinged or had anything to do with race. Number one, I said that Donald Trump would bring back to the Republican Party the white working class vote, which he did. I said that in March. I said also Donald Trump would get more minority votes than John McCain and Mitt Romney did, which he did. Those are the only times. There was nothing controversial about that interview at all. It was a fantastic interview. Anyway, Buchanan writes that even during the Cold War, people would meet with Russian officials, both formally and informally. If Russia meddled with our election, what have we done? Meddling in the affairs of half a dozen nations with color-coded revolutions, the cry of regime change may daily be heard in the U.S. Capitol. We are natural allies with Russia, Buchanan writes. The Russia of Tolstoy, Pushkin, Solzhenitsyn, and the Orthodox Church belongs to the West.
White high culture of the highest order.
Belongs to the West. If America stumbles into a war with Russia that all our Cold War presidents avoided, the Russian baiters and Putin haters will be put in the same circle of hell by history as the idiot war hawks of 1914 and the three blind men of Versailles in 1919. Break down Buchanan's column and how it applies to Trump's Jr.'s meeting with this potential informant. Because
I'm trying to find out how Russia morphed from being the left's best friend and the Democrats' best friend, who we ought to patch things over with because they were good socialists back before the fall of the Soviet Union. And now, since the fall of the Soviet Union, they've become the worst enemy of the United States, ideologically, morally, and in every other way.
Right. In the World War II era, when Russia was controlled by Jewish oligarchs, and they killed 10 times as many people as they claim Hitler killed, 60 million white Christians. No, they were our greatest enemy.
No, remember there's a guy named Walter Duranty with the, I don't know if it was the New York Times, but it was some big newspaper back in the 30s, who totally papered over Stalin's gulags, where 36 million Russians, Ruthenians, white Russians, and Ukrainians were killed in either a planned mass starvation or by being sent to gulags in Siberia to freeze to death. That was totally disregarded and not reported by the leftist media of the day. Walter Duranty even got a Pulitzer Prize for his false reporting on it. But now that Russia has come out from under the Soviet shadow and is a nationalist run by a Christian leader, suddenly they're the enemy again, and they're such a bad enemy that you know, that they're toxic. You can't even talk with people from Russia without being suspect. You have the Russians are like carrying the bubonic plague politically, or at least this is how the left would have you imagine. Now, what I don't understand about any of this, James, is why the American people can't see through this. If there is one superpower that we need to reach detente with and have an alliance with, it would be Russia. China competes directly against us economically, and any type of detente or alliance that we have with them would be conditioned on us doing nothing about their raping us economically. If we tried to put tariffs on them, we couldn't do that. If we tried to enforce our intellectual property laws against them, we couldn't do that. We have none of those problems with Russia. Russia, furthermore, I think what it really gets down to, James, is this. Jewish power and influence worldwide, but particularly in the United States, is scared to death of having the two white Gentile superpowers become allies, because they know that if they did, they would be a juggernaut, unstoppable. And furthermore, the Russians are Jew-wise to the third power more than the United States. They know about Jewish power and influence. They know about Jewish machinations. They know about Jewish schemes and dreams and manipulations. And they could give our government and our public insights into all of this that would prevent us from having pitched down this path to perdition. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's what the left has done. They have misrepresented themselves because under Jewish power and control in the news media and in the entertainment industry and in the educational establishment and elsewhere. And they've caught us in this riptide of liberalism that is about to transform America into a third world nation. Likewise, it is set poised on the brink of turning Europe and Australia and New Zealand into third world nations too. This is the only way that they can stop the advantage that is gained by, or that is inherent to, white nations. White nations just outdo the rest of the world. So what's their plan for equalizing incomes throughout the world? They're going to end the phenomenon of a white nation through immigration, through you know, reducing white birth rates in every imaginable way that they can. And the last thing they want us to do is to get a alliance with a Russia that is run by a Christian. He's a nationalist, and he's encouraging the increase of white Russians having giving birth. This is the type of leader that they just cannot, that type of person can't have any influence whatsoever on America and America's domestic and foreign policy. And that's what it gets down to in final analysis.
That is the baseline of everything that's happening. The stuff with us and Donald Trump Jr., as tenuous as it was, as much news as it's gotten, is still peripheral to what Keith's talking about. This thing with his meeting with the Russian informant. So what? Keith, set it down in no uncertain terms. Did he do anything improper, wrong, illegal, immoral, etc.?
No, he didn't. But the scary thing about impeachment is that you can be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors. What's a misdemeanor? Improper car registration? Basically, anything, if you can get two-thirds of the Senate to agree to it, you can impeach him for eating a snow cone if they want to, okay? This is why the leftist domination of our institutions, like the academy, like the news media, is so pernicious and has to be fought at every turn.
We'll be right back to wrap up this conversation before moving on to other topics in the second hour.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, you almost caught us with our pants down. Not literally. Not literally, of course. I thought we had at least a minute left. We went into the green room of our fantastic new studio. We've got to get this on video. We're just too busy to set down. We still haven't even unpacked. We still got boxes all over the place, trying to get the thing up and running at full strength. But we went over, got a glass of water. I was just getting mic'd back up, putting my headsets on, and then I heard the intro music. So I'm sure I startled our producer there. Sorry about that, Ben. But, yeah, Keith and I were just holding court here, hamming it up. I don't know what y'all...
I thought it was Don Jr. who was on the other line.
I don't know what all y'all heard.
He's an engineer for the program.
I hope
now.
We weren't cussing. But, okay, anyway, let me get my bearings here. So, well, that 3 minutes went by fast, didn't it, Keith? We normally time it better. We've been doing this long enough. You'd think we would have it down pat. But we don't, because I don't even have my notes. All right, here we go. Okay, so that Boston Globe article, we'll get to that and wrap this up, and then we've got other topics the rest of the show. We're not going to dwell on this the whole night. But
let me say this about impeachment before we leave. All right, the topic.
Very quickly.
You can mark my word on this. There will be some type of impeachment proceeding initiated by the left, because impeachment is exactly what the leftist media makes it to be. They can make it sound as if it is, you know, mass murder when it's nothing. For example, look at Nixon in Watergate. What did Nixon do to justify impeachment? He spied on the most inept presidential campaign in the history of presidential campaigns up to that point, the George McGovern New Left campaign that lost 49 states to one. What did he do that in any way influenced that election? The answer is a big fat nothing. He was paranoid enough to send somebody in there to try to spy on them to find out what they were doing. They weren't doing anything. That was quite obvious by the postmortem of the election back in 1972. But what the left wanted to prove, and what they want to prove the same thing now, is that you yokels in flyover country can elect whoever you want as president of the United States, but you can't keep him. We'll take him out because we're in charge and you're not. It reminds me of Jerry Lewis when I was a child. He appeared on, it was either Johnny Carson or Jack Parr's show when I was a little boy. And I thought he was the funniest guy in the world. But he said whenever he took a transcontinental flight from the parts of America that really mattered, New York to Hollywood, he always wanted to know when his plane was flying over Mississippi so he could be sure to use the bathroom. That type of Jewish contempt, by the way, Jerry Lewis was Jewish, that type of contempt for the white Gentile core of America is alive and well and just as virulent as ever in today's America. And they're going to show you that you don't have a chance. You are ruled by them. And that's what they're trying to prove. They control the airwaves. It's time for people to realize that the mainstream media is lying whenever its lips are moving, that they have an agenda, and the agenda is anti-American. Most of the people in the geographic landmass of America, they have nothing but thinly veiled contempt for, James, and that's what is playing itself out in their opposition to Donald Trump.
Well, look, we really got to break down this Boston Globe biographical piece about Donald Trump Jr., which included his answering of a few questions from me as a defining moment in his life. But we got to talk about something much more serious than that first, now that you brought it up. Jerry Lewis was Jewish, but was Gary Lewis?
Yes, he was. He was Jerry Lewis's son, and he was disowned by his father for marrying a Shiksa. He actually married a Filipino girl.
Well, hold on. But so that was my point. So Jerry Lewis didn't marry a Shiksa.
No, but I tell you what, Dean Martin was so irritated. He was the big part of Jerry Lewis early in his career, but being upstaged by this nebbish Jerry Lewis when he was a big playboy, as you've seen, if you've watched all the Rat Pack movies and things like that now, he finally had to give it up and said, you know, I've got to break off this partnership. And Jerry Lewis was never the same. Dean All Martin right. went on to bigger and better things.
Who wants to buy this diamond ring? Yeah, she took it off her finger now. It doesn't mean a thing.
You know, the vibrato's coming through. That was Snuff Garrett was the guy okay, in the studio that did all that. And he said he could make Gary Lewis, who had the worst voice in the world, sound like Mario Lanza.
That was a hell of a song. Okay, Boston Globe lists James Edwards and Donald Trump Jr. biographical outline. This came out yesterday. I'll admit the interview we did with Donald Trump Jr. was good. It earned millions of dollars worth of free publicity for the campaign. It was its own news cycle. Not just that, it became a story that prominently resurfaced throughout the campaign, and even now, a year and a half later.
And what was good about it was that some people were actually curious enough to tune in and listen to it on the various and sundry replays. And when they listened to it, they found out, one, how reasonable James was and Sam, and two, how reasonable Donald Trump Jr. was.
We will replay it next week. We will replay it next week. You can find it on YouTube if you're super curious. Just Google Donald Trump Jr., James Edwards. Several people have posted it. It was a great interview. But here it is. Over the past week, the Boston Globe writes, Keith eating carrots, if you're wondering why it sounds like a horse on the mic. There's been no bigger name in the Russia election interference story than Donald Trump Jr. The president's son has found himself in the spotlight again, doing no small part to his own posting of emails about a meeting with a lawyer said to be peddling information as part of a Russian government effort. So what? Nothing wrong with that. So who is Trump? He's the firstborn child of the president. Of course, he runs the Trump Organization along with his younger brother, Eric. But here are seven things you might not know about the 39-year-old. Here we go. He speaks fluent Czech, and owing to his grandparents on Ivana's side. This talks about how he grew up as a young boy spending summers in Czechoslovakia and how he received paternal guidance from his maternal grandfather that he couldn't receive from Donald because Donald was so busy. He didn't speak to his father for a year after the divorce between his father and his mother. He hunts.
That's terrible.
It talks about how he proposed to his wife. It talks about his college years. His early jobs. And then it talks about the radio interview with me. So here we go. Upbringing.
Well, his grandparents he respects. Two, he's a hunter. And three, he's heterosexual. Well, you know, how that's three strikes right there.
But the point is, it talks about his upbringing, going through his father's divorce, his relationship with his grandparents. All of these things are milestones. Proposing to his wife, going to college, his early jobs. All of this stuff, and then it says this. Last year, there was a burst of attention on Donald Jr. when he went on the radio show hosted by a white nationalist in Memphis. As the Washington Post reported, the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards, is also the director of two groups deemed white supremacist organizations by the Southern Poverty Law Center, although Edwards instead calls himself a pro-white advocate. On the show, Edwards likened Trump Sr. to the Holy Roman Emperor who tried to drive Muslims out of Europe, the Post reported, telling Donald Jr., quote, "I hope your father becomes the next Charlemagne after he becomes the next president of the United States," end quote. Trump's campaign first denied that the interview happened, but then Donald Jr. admitted it did. Hey, I got to tell you folks something. I have a massive ego, among other things. But to be included by one of the biggest newspapers in the world as a defining biographical moment in the life of the president's son is a bit much and a bit excessive, even for me to accept at face value.
Now, who was that heifer that was a spokesmouth for the Trump campaign that put you down shortly after that?
That was Hope Hicks. Hope Hicks.
Well, Hicks has gone back to the sticks, apparently, because I haven't heard from her since.
No, unfortunately, you're wrong about that. We wish liars would receive their comeuppance. Because if there's one thing we've always been, it's frank and candid and honest. But I do believe she is gainfully employed as a Trump staffer and making, sadly, perhaps
well,
a little.
Well, who knows what she's doing, but she's been relegated to the background, at least.
Well, she's definitely not in the news every day.
She's well taken care of. She's not like Mike Huckabee's daughter, for example, who stars.
No. She's not on the front lines. That's correct. But anyway, so here we go, Keith. So bottom line, we're wrapping up this hour. Your takeaways.
Well, my takeaway is this. They are desperate. They're grasping at straws. This is the biggest, to use Hillary Clinton's phrase or term, nothing burger imaginable. Basically, Donald Trump Jr. allowed himself to meet with a Russian lawyer who apparently had a hidden agenda of trying to promote Russian adoptions to U.S. citizens that she hoped to profit from, and she had a client that hoped to profit from this, and their bait to get Donald Trump Jr. to meet with them was that they had some inside information against the Democratic presidential campaign. Well, there's nothing wrong with listening to this information, but the information was apparently so incredible that he just did not entertain it any further and cut the interview short. Now, trying to make that into an impeachable offense is total absurdity.
Well, we're getting off of it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to other topics for the rest of the show. We'll be back right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.